Hello. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good.
Okay. So this week is Parshat. Anyone know?
Truma.
Right. So this week is Parshat Truma. So we went through, if you think about Sefer Shemot, we came out of Mitzrayim, we received the Torah, we got the Mishpatim, and then Hashem starts describing the building of the Mishkan. And the Mishkan is almost like a representation, a physical representation of the Shekhinah brought down onto earth. It's, if you think about it, we are human beings, and as human beings, we have ideas, we like Kedusha, we like to connect to spiritual things, and yet we need something concrete to be able to connect with. And the Mishkan is almost like the architecture of Hashem. There's something, and it's very interesting. Sometimes people say, like, okay, this is where people stop learning in elementary school, like all the details, because it becomes very detail-oriented, and it has, like, blueprints, and there's all of the kelim, and it becomes very detailed and intricate, and sometimes that becomes very difficult for kids in elementary school to learn. So I think sometimes we learn all about the stories, and we sometimes forget a lot of the... We don't focus as much on all the different kelim and the intricacies. And yet, there's so much power and so much depth to the learning of the Mishkan. And so, what I want to focus on is the first concept here, is the concept of details. And all the Mefarshim say that the details really matter. And specifically, when it comes to the Mishkan and it comes to all of the kelim, every detail, every keli, every measurement has a gematria, it has a meaning, it has a representation, and there are so many nefarshim and so many different things that explain every single nuance and every single detail. And today, we can't obviously go through all of them, but I'd like to focus specifically on the Aron, and I'd like to focus on some of the details and what are some of the messages that we can learn. So I want to start with even the very basic thing. When it says the Aron, the Baal HaTurim says that the Aron is, the gematria for the Aron is Nezer, which is a crown. And the Gemara says that there were many different crowns that were bestowed on the earth, but the Aron represents the crown of Torah. And that there is a beauty to the Aron and the message of the Torah. And it even says, Asu Aron Atse Shitim. And the question is, what is Atse Shitim? And an interesting thing that they said, that the Mefarshim say, the eights actually refers to, why does it have wood? Because we have this message of, Midrash of, Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba, that the Torah is a tree of life. And one of the Mefarshim I was reading was saying that it's so interesting that it's like this tree of life, that sometimes people are able to grab onto it, and sometimes there are other people who maybe are not able to fully learn it, but they could grab on just a little bit. And by grabbing on, it enriches your life. It gives you focus. It gives you chiyut. It gives you energy. And the focus in your life to be able to, even if you can't fully learn it and fully invest it, but to grab on and get what you can of it, that's the Eitz Chaim Hi, that it gives you life. So I thought about it this week when I went with a bunch of girls to pay a Shiva visit at the Mordechayev home, and Mr. Mordechayev was speaking, and the girls were speaking about their grandfather, and he should have an Aliyat Neshama, Uriel Ben Chefsi. He should have an Aliyat Neshama, and I, one of the stories that they shared made me think about this concept of Eitz Chaim Hi. Mr. Mordechayev was sharing that when he was back in Uzbekistan, he saw that early in the morning, sometimes his father would wake up early in the morning and he would go to the coat closet, and he didn't understand what was going on, and he would always wake up earlier than everyone else, and he was busy in the coat closet. And it was only until he was older that he realized that his father had like a hidden cabinet behind all the knapsacks, behind everything, where he's kept his talit and tefillin. And every morning before the kids would wake up, he would go take out the talit and tefillin, pray, and then put it back. And he wouldn't tell his children because it was dangerous. If you told your children, then that would be something that's very, very dangerous, right? And I think it was Adina who was also sharing that her grandparents were butchers, right? Was that right? And how it wasn't always, you weren't always able to have kosher meat, and that they did a lot of things to be able to try to be to make get kosher meat to be readily available, and at risk of life, at risk of getting arrested. But that's the Eitz Chaim, that you hold on to it even at risk, and it ends up saving it. It ends up giving tremendous chiyut, and you see the impact generations later. I was thinking about this also, like in my drive this morning. You know, my grandfather grew up in Russia. One of my grandparents, and served in the Russian army in the beginning of World War II, and as you know, as a young man and as a teenager, and then was sent to Siberia. So he didn't have the beauty of Torah. He didn't. He didn't have an education like you girls have, right? He didn't go to yeshiva like my children have the opportunity to go. And yet, when he came to America, he knew that he wanted to have a life committed to Torah, even if he couldn't himself understand how to learn Torah. He didn't have the skills. So he always attached himself to people who learned Torah. He actually moved next to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky in Philadelphia, and he helped build the yeshiva of Philadelphia, and he was a contractor. Like, he knew how to build things, a carpenter. So he built, you know, the shtenders, and he built our own, and he built the... And when Rav Shmuel's family picked up and moved to one side of town, his family picked up and moved to the other side of town with them. Because, okay, we have to always be near. My father and my uncle, Baruch Hashem, grew up near people who had access to Torah, were able to go to the yeshivot, even though his parents couldn't teach him Torah. And both my father and his brother, Baruch Hashem, have this tremendous love for Torah, which comes from their parents, who went through tremendous hardship so that their children would have access to Torah. And as I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about the parasha of this Eitz Chaim. Here you have this Eitz Chaim, where you have grandparents that fought so hard for their children to have access to Torah. And you are so lucky to benefit from that. I am so lucky to benefit from that. And I think sometimes in the 21st century, like, it's so easy for people to forget, like, to say, like, oh, like, whatever, like, oh, I feel like Dominic today, and it's so much going on that we don't think about and we don't focus on, and it's like, okay, maybe I will, maybe I won't, like, do I really care? Do I remember to say a bracha? Do I feel like benching? I don't know. And it's like, they fought for everything. They risked their lives for this. They grabbed on with everything they could. And I think that that's such a powerful concept. And it takes me to another concept that they said about their grandfather. I thought it was so interesting. On the way out, Mrs. Mordechayev said, you know, he always used to say, is it in the frame? If it's not in the frame, move into the frame. And I'm thinking about, like, the Aron is a box. It was very, very clear. There were three boxes. Everything was nestled in. It fit in the box. All the boxes fit, and it was a box. And it made me think about, I said, what is that frame you were talking about? She says, these were his values. And I said, what were the values? She said, Torah, family, honesty, integrity, giving to your children, working hard. Those were the values. And if it wasn't in those values, he would say, refocus, you've got your frame, right? And I think that that's also a powerful message, like, to always have in mind, what's our focus? Where are we going in our lives? What are we doing with our lives? That's the power of Torah and the power of this rich heritage that you have from your grandparents. And I think sometimes we look at our grandparents and we say, oh, well, you know, they're not as educated as us. You're right. They may not have as much education, but you know what they have? They have the Mesirut Nefesh, so that you can have an education. And the beauty that comes from that is extraordinary. Which now takes us to, what's your heritage? So take us to, the Ramban says, the Asuli Mikdash, all the other things, when they said, all the other kelim, it says, the Asita, Uva Aron Katuv, the Asu Aron, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shalom, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it that only with the Aron, it says the Asu, and you should make in plural, as opposed to, and you should. And he says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to everyone, Yovo HaKol V'yasku Ba'aron. everyone should somehow participate in creating their own. Sheyizku leTorah, that everyone should have an opportunity to be have this chut of Torah. V'ha'esek, sheyitnadev kol echad kli zahav echad la'aron. Everyone should somehow donate or give or help Betzalel, even if it's a tiny dot. Everybody kafi sheyochlo. Everybody should have an opportunity to help and to be a part of the giving of the aron. And finally, the aron is the only keli that has half measurements. It's very interesting. All the other measurements, the other ones, some have full, some have one, some have whole and half, but this one has half. And so the Kliyakar describes, why is it that it has half? He says, because a Talmud Chacham should always know that he's never complete. A Talmud Chacham should always know, someone who learns Torah should always know, that there's always more to learn. There's a humility in not being perfect. No person could ever say, I have everything. You could say, you know what, money, I have what I need, I'm good, I don't need more. Right? I'm good. We're fine. Baruch Hashem, Hashem took care of me. That's what Yaakov says, right? Yeshlikol. But when it comes to Torah, when it comes to knowledge, when it comes to working on your midot, nobody could ever say, I'm done. And that's what he says, Ki ezehu chacham halomei b'kol adam. Every single person has to always continue learning. And also, that even when it's understanding Hashem, that you should say, you have to know what you don't know. You have to understand that you're always supposed to be searching, you're always supposed to be seeking, and that every single one of you can have a part. And I want to share with you this week, I was so proud of each and every one of you at the Chizuk night. And one of the things that I was particularly proud of is that we had learning sheets. And it's late, and it's after hours, and it's very easy for someone to say, like, come on, it's 8:30 at night, like, I want to have fun with my friends. Like, I don't have to sit here and learn. Like, you could have just schmoozed over it. But, you know, as I walked around, okay, it takes time. Sometimes it takes a couple of minutes to get into it. But as I walked around, you know what I found? I found girls who were really into the learning. And not only were they into the learning, so they, you asked perceptive questions. And you got excited with it. And some girls said, wow, thank you. These sheets are beautiful. The Torah is beautiful. And understanding that Torah is beautiful, that you could take sources and read them inside on your own and discuss it with your friends. That is the dream that your grandparents had for you, that you could be in a Jewish school, that you could learn Torah, that you could make it your own, and you can internalize it. I loved it. Hodiah asked last night, she says, I remember you said this source. Who was the one who said the source? I said, go back to your source sheet. You'll find it. It's there. And she goes, yeah, I found it. Right? Like, that's a beautiful thing, that you're owning sources. And I know sometimes it can get hard, and sometimes the Hebrew could get hard. And you know something? I think that is the amelut patorah, that you're working on it, you're learning it, you believe in yourself, and we believe in you, and that you all continue to take a part in the beautiful Torah and to make it your own. And I think it's a tremendous triumph. I think this is a very, very special community. And I say it often, people say, you know, what's it like to teach at Yeshiva Shaare Tzion? And I say, what are the girls like? And I say, I have to say, the girls are extraordinary. And one of the things that you see is that there's a tremendous heart and a tremendous love for learning. And that it becomes, it's, when it's given to you, you have the opportunity, you realize how special it is to internalize it. And I think Mr. Mordechayev's father, Uriel Ben Chafsi, should have an Eliyat Neshama. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a schut also to all of your grandparents and all of our grandparents who put so much effort into making it special for you and something to appreciate every day of our lives. Have a beautiful Shabbat, and may we see the Biak Bo El Tzedek from here of your mouth.